Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
Hey, welcome. This is the Investor Coaching Show. I am Paul Winkler. We talk about the world of money investing. And Mr. Evan Barnard is hanging out here with me.
Howdy.
Wow, you're loud.
Sorry.
I was just blooming away.
It's finally a pretty day. I'm excited.
I guess you were. We had a show before you even got in here, I think. I mean, some of the things that you brought in, topics to talk about. I think we've got some really good stuff to talk about. Evan, I think that let's just go non-news, really, and go just simply interesting.
Got it.
You had this book that you brought in, and
yes.
I was like, whoa, this is really, really cool stuff. And I think it just could lead to some really interesting territory because we have somewhat of a negative bent as humans. And it's like, you know, why is it that we look through life through a lens and with uncertainty? And I've talked about this before. When you have uncertainty, you have an intolerance for uncertainty. The typical way of handling that intolerance for uncertainty is to go, okay, something's uncertain and it's, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared. It's probably going to turn out poorly. And that's the way we go right away. And now we don't necessarily think of the other two alternatives, which is it could be neutral. Maybe nothing good or bad necessarily comes out of the uncertainty that we are faced with. Or it may be that we are going to be coming up to an uncertain future that is actually better than where we are. And that doesn't necessarily enter our thinking, that things may actually be better than we're thinking that they're going to be.
Right.
We typically go to, it's going to be bad. I'm scared. I hate this. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, yeah. And even just thinking about when you were setting that topic up, we assume that some things are certain and some things are uncertain. Mm-hmm. It's kind of how we approach life. When in fact, nothing is certain. It's all uncertain. Now, we might have a much higher probability, you know, the sun rises in the east, that's fine. But in terms of
that's a great point.
How people live their life, what my health is going to be, what's traffic going to be, how much time do I need to allow? I mean, we kind of project this air of certainty that doesn't really exist anyway.
Yeah, when we try to embrace safety,
right?
What we do is we just take risk of a different type.
Yeah, it's
absolutely true.
It takes me longer to get to work because I drive so slow.
And then somebody runs into my back end because I was driving.
Exactly.
Oh, crud.
So here's a book, and I will get you another copy. I was remiss in ordering two when I got this. It just came out in print. I pre-ordered it. It's called 10 Global Trends Every Smart Person Should Know, and many others you will find interesting.
Oh, what a fascinating title.
And basically what it's looking at, I'll actually read from the intro of the book because it does a better job than me trying to explain it, is simply, you know, why this book? Polls show that most smart people tend to believe that the state of the world is getting worse rather than better.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 2016 survey of global public opinion from 17 countries. All things considered, do you think the world's getting better, worse, or neither? Is basically a simple question they were asking.
It's going to heck in a handbasket, is what most people would
think. Most of the world agrees with you.
Yeah.
58% of respondents thought that the world is getting worse.
Wow.
30% said it's about the same. And 11% said it was getting better.
Only 11%
worldwide
think that the world is actually improving.
Yeah. In the United States...
Oh, this is going to be interesting.
65% of Americans thought that the world was getting worse. Now, this was in 2016, by the way.
Get out.
23% said neither. At that time,
now, wait a minute.
6% of Americans responded that the world was getting better. In 2016.
No. Go back and give me that number again, because my mind just went ballistic when you said 2016 was the year of
this. That was the year of the survey, or at least the year it was published. In the United States, 65% of Americans thought that the world is getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
23% said it was about the same. And 6% of Americans only responded that the world was getting better.
That is insane. Ira, what do you think of that?
Well, I would think now that if that was written right now, they would say 0% of Americans are thinking the world would get better.
You think it's even worse? Well,
it'd be interesting to see.
That's a really good point. It'd be interesting to see what they're thinking is. You know, do you think it's actually
what it is right now
based on everything that we're hearing? I mean, there's nothing we're hearing is any good.
Well, that's my point. You think about there was something on Facebook that it said everybody who said where they would be in 2015. Everybody who said where they would be 5 years from now was wrong.
Right. Because of COVID.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Exactly.
Five years ago, or even last year at this time, who would have thought that we would be walking around with masks, that we would be locked in our house, that we wouldn't be able to travel freely in the United States of America?
No, I mean, you say that, Ira, and I think about the Olympics in China, and I think about they're all running around wearing masks, and I'm going, that's just the weirdest thing that a bunch of people have to run around wearing masks. You remember that when they had the Olympics and they had to wear masks because their air was so polluted.
The smog was so bad. Yeah.
The smog was so bad and the pollution was so bad that they had to wear masks. Well, I thought that was weird.
Yeah, I've met people here now that, right, you know, here in Tennessee that say, I don't think we're ever going to not be able to wear masks again, that we're going to always be wearing masks from now on.
I did. That's, yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to have a rectangular tan over my face.
Neither am I.
No, I. You know, I don't know. You know, I go to school and I take classes on Saturday. And, you know, with all the people in the school, I'm going to tell you, they can't wait to get the doggone things off. And
yeah.
And the reality of it is that they're in one of them that likes doing it. So the trends, we're basically hearing that everybody thinks it's getting worse.
Correct.
It's going to heck in a handbasket. Even worse in the United States than even worldwide.
We have a worse perception of the world getting worse.
Yes.
Now, I think it's because of we have better communication here and we are exposed to more negative news.
That's a good point.
Than a lot of the world that isn't exposed to any news at all.
You weren't privy to a conversation as to why what he just said was... because
you want me to read that?
It was absolutely fascinating. Yes.
Yeah.
Read this.
So this...
Go through some of the numbers. What's getting better first, and then do it. Do it in the order we talked about it, because I think that's fascinating.
Oh, I got to flip there.
Yeah, because...
I will go with the top 10 trends, or at least we'll start. Trend number one is the Great Enrichment, is the title of that. And basically, excuse me, they're looking at GDP per cap, world GDP from the year 100 to basically the year 2020.
Yeah. Okay. That has to be an absolutely bizarre looking chart that goes straight, and then goes straight up.
It's a hockey stick or a boomerang, depending on how long the upward stick you want.
Yeah, a hockey stick with a very, very long striking edge, whatever you call that. Yeah.
And what they've... I'm not a hockey guy.
Me either, apparently. And, you know, the hockey players out there are going, Paul, really?
They're swerving all over the road.
They're laughing.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So they did, all throughout this book, just to let you know, everything was constantized to a 2011 U.S., it's an international dollar.
Okay.
All right. So that they're not worried about inflation and all that.
Number one, we got huge growth in GDP, gross domestic product. Okay.
So it used to be... you know, roughly, what was it? I mean, it was like 50, you know, million or something like that was the world GDP.
Okay.
And now it's,
ridiculous.
Where'd it go? 3.4 trillion in 1900, 121 trillion by 2018.
Okay, so it's ridiculously fast.
Yeah, ridiculously fast. Mm-hmm. Here was the interesting thing. If they use like a 2% growth rate by one of the UN... agencies, they were looking at a $600 trillion world GDP in constant dollars by 2100. If they use the actual rate of growth over this period of time,
yeah, there's no way.
It will be 1.1 quadrillion.
I was going to say, you can't even do the math. Okay, so that's one trend. That's one thing that we look at. It's growth. Okay.
Going huge. End of poverty. The global population in absolute poverty has significantly dropped from 1820, where there was roughly 93% of the world was in absolute poverty. And now it is down to like 46%, and that was just through 1990 on some of the data. The World Bank actually has it down to about 9% of the world population lives in absolute poverty.
So a huge improvement there.
Huge improvement there. Are we running out of resources? You might remember Ehrlich, right?
Yes.
You know, the world's going to freeze, the population bomb from Stanford, Paul Ehrlich from
Stanford. Late 60s. Yeah,
we're going to consume everything. Mm-hmm. We've got commodity prices. We still have an overabundance of commodities to the point that commodity prices in real terms, with just a couple of exceptions, have stayed relatively flat since 1980, you know, shortly after that came out. I mean, they didn't really track commodity prices in the 1400s or anything.
But. Right. So, yeah, as wrong as he could be, but it scared people into taking actions that ended up hurting them, you know, is really reality of things and scared people. I remember hearing that stuff when I was in school and thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to run out of food, we're going to run out of oil, we're going to run out of all kinds of natural resources, and it's going to be really bad, and we need to just stop production of everything. You know, and that was it. And we need to stop having babies. We need to stop having children because of the fact that, you know, we don't have enough food to feed them. Yeah.
Yep. But that's actually still being taught because I had this conversation with my niece about a year and a half ago who said, we need to stop having babies because there's not enough food to feed everybody.
Right.
I mean, she's now a junior in college.
Very, very common.
So think of the news stories of the rainforest that you've heard. If I were to ask you if we're losing forest land or gaining forest land in the world, what would your knee-jerk reaction be?
We got to be losing. I mean, look at the wildfires. You know,
Brazil and clear cutting.
Right. Sure, absolutely.
We've actually gained over 2 million square kilometers of forested land in the world.
Say it's
since
not so.
1985. It's moved.
Isn't that
some
fascinating?
Some of it's not in the rainforest, right. But we're even with some of the climate change stuff, we're now growing more trees at higher elevation.
Well, it's fascinating you bring that up, and you know, because there was an environmentalist that was actually talking about how the changes are taking place and how environmental change, and actually in the blog, I actually read the blog, and I got, because I was looking for information on the Sahara Desert, and I actually landed on this blog, so I read it. And what I found fascinating was that this gentleman was saying, you know, the Sahara Desert was actually about 6,000 years ago, it was probably a lush, it was lush. It was actually, there was a lot of plant growth, and he was just going on and on. And I'm thinking, were there carbon emissions? And, you know,
were Marxists in the Sahara Desert 6,000 years ago?
Isn't that fascinating? So yeah, I was like, now, wait a minute. That doesn't actually, that goes against his, what he's teaching. So that I thought that was fascinating that he actually had that in his blog.
Yeah. So we have all of these areas that are improving. Even interesting how they even calculate some of these. Mm-hmm. In 1960, the food supply production in the world was roughly 2,150 calories per person per day.
Mm-hmm.
That was how much food was produced.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now it is 2,800 calories per day.
That's why
worldwide.
Our waistlines are expanding.
There you go. I have an excuse. I'm progressing.
Has nothing to do with Krispy Kreme. He's expanding.
Growing with the food production. You just want to keep it
I'm
balanced.
Just doing my part for world population.
Okay, so
you're
what
just making up for
what
Paul,
else is going
actually.
On? What else Evan, is going on? I don't want to hear.
You're just making up for Paul on the calories.
I know.
Oh, leave me out of this.
That's the net gain. There's an increased urbanization of population. I don't think that would actually come to a surprise to anybody.
Okay, no.
Here's one, trend number 8, democracy on the march.
Interesting.
Since 1800, democracies have increased from basically 0% of countries that were democracies to about 50%. Dead even in the world today are democracies, whether we call them a constitutional republic or not, it's a stable form of populist-driven government.
Right, okay.
And we've gone from autocracies at roughly 65% down to about 10%.
So are we seeing an increase in the trend recently, do they talk about, or do you see anything?
No, this is almost a straight line other than a quick drop
so still
during
increasing.
World War II.
Oh, so still increasing. Okay, fascinating.
Yeah, still increasing from 1800 all the way through 2020.
So, and you probably have more statistics and you keep going. We could probably go forever, but things are getting better and better. And it's a good read.
Big things are getting better
Big
and better.
Things and important things are getting better and better. Go back to the original point that was made earlier as to why is it that we don't know this?
Yep. So there was research done in 1965 by Johann Galtung. And he said there is a basic asymmetry in life between the positive, which is difficult and takes time, and the negative, which is much easier and takes less time. Compare the amount of time needed to bring up and socialize an adult person and the amount of time needed to kill him in an accident.
Sure.
The amount of time needed to build a house and to destroy it in a fire, to make an airplane and to crash it, and so on.
And so you look at that and you say, well, what is going to make the news? Something that took a long time to happen or something that is news?
Right, exactly.
Breaking news.
Breaking news, exactly. Right. So the things that are more likely to make the news would be something that would be fast, and by definition, things that are fast are typically negative.
And compound that with, as all of these trends continue to improve, we've got a greater expectation for society. And so we have gotten to the point where, and my point is not to say this issue is valid or invalid, but we're debating whether or not we should have plastic straws floating in the ocean as opposed to two-thirds of the world is starving to death. We're, you know, I mean, just we're now solving smaller and smaller problems because we have progressed so much and they're even less noticeable and less newsworthy.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good thing.
Yeah.
And to I think to compound it and make it worse, people realize as they get a little bit older and get into the workforce that they don't get a participation trophy.
So one of the things that we look at here, besides participation trophies, is the fact that we are so enamored and admired in things that are negative. And the reality of it is that maybe things aren't necessarily so bad, and maybe things are a little bit better than we think, and maybe there is some reason for optimism.
Absolutely.
Maybe optimism is a rational form of thought, and maybe a more rational position to have.
Yep.
And you know, a beautiful thing to think about. You know, as investors, when we think that things are going to fall apart, but we notice around us that things are getting better around the world, you know, maybe it's a reason. And this is a good reason to be globally diversified, isn't it? As an investor, to stay globally diversified simply because of the fact that you want to participate in this good stuff happening around the world.
Yep.
You are listening to the Investor Coaching Show. I'm Paul Winkler, along with Evan Barnard and Ira Work. We'll see you next time. Hey guys, if you want specific advice for your unique situation, schedule a free 15-minute phone chat with one of our trusted advisors by going to paulwinkler.com/call. We don't sell any products, and our advisors don't make any commissions, so this isn't a sales call. We have a coaching process that helps you understand investing and relax about money. Don't put blind trust in anyone with your financial assets. We want to partner with you in the process so you know what you're doing and why. We manage assets on a fee-only basis, which means that when you do well, we do well, which aligns our interests with yours from the start. We also bring you into the financial planning process that gives you a clear plan so you can find the freedom to pursue your purpose. All our advisors are degreed planners, too, with years of experience. So schedule a free 15-minute phone call with an advisor by going to paulwinkler.com/call. You're listening to the Investor Coaching Show, and I'm your host, Paul Winkler. Have a great one.